You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS Radio Waterloo, 102.7, 946 on the Rogers Digital Network. You can find us.
Good morning, Waterloo Region. It is Monday, the 16th of March. Happy St. Urho Day to you, the day when we celebrate St. Urho driving the grasshoppers out of Finland by the wearing of the green and the purple. In the studio today, we have Jake Feeney. Jake Feeney is an artist from Toronto. He'll be joining us for a live on-air in-studio performance. Hit the notes there, Jake.
Thank you. Love is safe in my soul. Keep it in a cup half full. When I pour it down your drain, you never overflow, no, no. And it feels like I'm in driving rain. Oh, with no headlights, only sounds and shapes. Those eyes put me in. Once again, we fly low, we fly low. There goes my urgency, listen, it's all he ever had, they said, as they helped to breathe. It sent me out to give it all up. Then another view took a planet I knew, so I float on spinning. And maybe she'll see. Just pass me time and time again. And she don't even know. Miles ahead, yeah, she's miles ahead. There goes your sympathy, didn't take too long. Quick to draw fears, come to life in long nights. Prove that I'm on my own. Yes, belief it can be wicked, and maybe she'll see. Pass me time and time again. And she don't even know when will it reveal itself. She's miles ahead. Yeah, she's miles ahead. Na 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 na.
Jake Feeney in the studio with CKMS Community Connections. Welcome to the studio, Jake.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
That's great. Where did you come from?
I came from Toronto this morning and when I was born. I've always lived in Toronto, West End.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And coming musically, so been traveling to play your music?
I've been playing around Ontario a bit. I played the Summer Folk Music Festival a couple times, a couple years ago. Just played around the towns around Toronto. Yeah, haven't made it out of Ontario yet.
I've made it out of music. Ontario. Okay, yeah. So world tour coming.
Yeah, that's the next step.
Excellent. What did you just play for us? What was that?
That was called No Headlights, which is the first song that I released from my upcoming album. Uh-huh. So it's got 10 songs. That was the first one I felt was the strongest to lead with. I've been writing that song for quite a while, as with the other ones, and just now I played it acoustically. On the release, it's got a kind of a full band sound along with it, as do the other ones. So I like to play the songs acoustically live, at least for now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you write them with the idea of being able to play both acoustically and with full orchestration?
Yeah. So the first couple releases I had were just on Bandcamp, just kind of put them out there. Those were more acoustic, just acoustic and vocals. These ones, I learned a lot about production in the last couple of years, so I got carried away with that and, you know, used lots of drum samples and sound effect samples and stuff like that to try to fill in the rest of the the spectrum.
Right. So in the album that you're producing, it's entirely self-produced, right, from conceiving the songs, writing the music, to doing the engineering and...
Yeah, I was very stubborn, and I wanted to do every little bit I could, just to figure it all out the first time.
So it's not a matter of exerting creative control.
Could be. Might be a little bit of that, least for this time.
Okay.
I'm happy to open it up for the next project.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit more.
Yeah. Problem with that is, of course, that if you're getting somebody to do the engineering or the mixing for you, you have to, one, trust them, and two, pay them. So.
That's true. Those are two big things. That was freeing to be able to, you know, sit down and do it all with no cost, really, right? Time is
time,
a big cost.
Time.
So.
And equipment. What sort of stuff do you have in a studio to your recording?
Yeah, that's where I'm lucky, because my dad's a musician. He was a musician, is a musician. So he has an old microphone, an old AKG microphone that just fits my voice well. I'm lucky for that.
Yeah.
I use Logic Pro, small little interface system.
Okay.
Nothing really fancy. His catalog of plugins and stuff has come in hugely handy. Yeah,
so, so you've got all the tools there to make a good, well-produced album.
Yeah, and having my dad around to, you know, listen and say, like, oh, I think this needs that, or that might need that, a little bit of that.
So you do have a recording engineer.
Yeah,
staff.
A little bit of a peeks in every once in a while. Yeah. And exactly.
Okay, excellent. It's always good to have some feedback, isn't it?
Of course, yeah.
So when you're producing, you've released just the one, no headlights.
Mm-hmm. Just two, actually. Just a couple weeks ago, I just released Calling Cards, which is just more of an acoustic one.
Okay.
I'm going to play that.
Well, we don't have that in our digital library.
I will get that to you.
Yeah, we played No Headlights a few weeks back.
Yeah.
So that was...
I heard that. That was great.
Yeah,
it was exciting.
Oh, you heard that.
I heard it.
The listener. Excellent. So you said you have something else that's released?
Yeah. I have one song called Calling Cards. That's a little more stripped back, just acoustic, a little bit of sound effect stuff in the background, a bit of piano, but that kind of brought it back to what I started with just the acoustic stuff.
You play piano too?
It was just like a sampled piano. I did start piano when I was younger, actually.
Yeah. I think that piano might be the fundamental instrument for
agree with that,
everything.
Yeah.
It goes on the piano and then, you know, can transcribe, can reorchestrate that for just about any other thing.
That's true, yeah. It's a good one to start with. You know, it's all laid out in front of you. It's, it's hard to miss.
Yeah. You can see what you're doing when you're playing piano. You can look down at the keys.
It's true. What are they doing with this thing here?
I know.
It's facing the wrong way.
Can you perform the new
Absolutely.
Release for us?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
All right. This is called Calling Cards.
Jake Feeney at CKMS Community Connections.
What kind of woman are you, babe? What kind of blood's coursing through those veins? Do I call the same evening or morning instead? Will I find your patience is over my head? And I'm wondering just who you are. We've only shared words so far. Must be the girl come to break this heart. Giving eyes like old calling cards.
I'd like to spend some more time getting to know you. Only enough so we're both never lonely. The weather now is safe, block every way in. Hold me down before this flood comes and turns me in. And I'm wondering what makes you cry. Even though many have lost this fight, must be the girl come to teach me right. Hell, you're probably just wasting your time. What a sweet line, you say you like a poet. I'm sitting on my roof just to prove I can rhyme. As far as this heart goes, I might never come close to Dylan or Mattson or anyone else. Still, I'm wondering just who you are. We've only shared few moments so far. Must be the girl come to break her heart. Giving eyes like old calling cards.
Feeney in the studio at CKMS. That's sad. It's a little bit sad.
It is a little bit sad.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have a hard time writing a happy song, I would say. I think that happy songs are harder to write. I think that...
Really?
I don't know. I think... I mean, I've always felt that. I know some other musicians that would agree with that, but then, you know, there's some that probably have a hard time writing a sad song.
I suppose. Have you had a hard life to draw on for experience?
No. I don't know. I think it's just a release. Gather all those maybe sad feelings or tougher emotions, and it's a way to express them, and that's how I've found it. Yeah.
I suppose it's better than moping around. If you can get it out by writing the music and performing the music.
Absolutely. I've never found anything more therapeutic than, you know, just picking up the guitar. That's
really?
Always, yeah, it's, and when I found, like I said, I played piano before, and when I really got into guitar, that was, yeah, it was a big breakthrough kind of, you know, epiphany thing, type thing.
You didn't get the same kind of relaxation playing piano?
No, I think I was probably too young, too. Something about songwriting on a guitar is just kind of felt very natural and comforting.
Okay. You've got a whole album out now. Like, or you'll have a whole album out soon, but you've got, you know, you've written 10 songs, performed 10 songs.
Yeah.
Possibly more that aren't ready for release yet.
That's right. I would say maybe in total probably written about 40 or 50.
Really?
Maybe in total, yeah.
Comes easy to you then, does it?
No. I'd say melodies come a little bit easier. Melodies and guitar parts.
Okay.
I have probably 150 guitar parts, but the lyrics are always a little bit harder to come by.
Okay.
I think I'm a little much of a perfectionist on those kind of things. So
all right.
I'll hear something or I'll write something, and a day later or an hour later, I'll say, no.
That wasn't right?
No, it's not right.
And I guess you can't ever get it out of your head either, can you? You can put the guitar down, but you can't get the music out of your head.
Definitely not. Yeah. No matter where I am, I see a sign on the road or a name of a restaurant, and I think, like, that could be something, and that could be a lyric, or could turn that into something.
And what do you do when that happens? You know, you're driving along, and, you know, you get struck by inspiration.
Yeah.
Can you remember that for, you know, the time when you can actually sit down and you know, make this permanent, or
yeah,
do you voice need to memo- stop right then?
I have had that moment a few times. Voice memos are my savior.
Oh,
absolutely.
Okay.
I have way too many, and way too many unlabeled. I have to always go through and listen and be like, which one was this? Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Note to self.
Yeah, it's so many of those.
Okay. And when you're doing the actual composition, does a song come to you entirely formed, or do you have to actually do some song smithing at it to force it into the thing you want it to be?
I love that expression. Definitely song smithing. More of that than... There has been a few times where a song kind of fell out of me, but...
Okay. I've heard that happens, you know?
It's, yeah.
The song takes control, and
yeah.
You know, you're just a conduit for getting it out.
That's right, and you can never initiate that. It's just something that will happen. It happened one time with a song that I wrote called Growing Pains. And
mm-hmm.
That's one of my older songs now, but I still like to play it live.
Okay.
I think it resonated with people, and that was one of those times where it just... It was like a 15-minute thing, and maybe I had some of the guitar part, and then the lyrics all just came at once.
Really?
Yeah.
But usually you have to work hard at the lyrics to make them fit the music, or do you alter the music to fit the lyrics that you come up with?
I'd say more often it's I have a guitar part, and then one day I'll think of a melody that they say, oh, maybe that would work over that part, and I go to the guitar, and it does or it doesn't. Usually have a chorus or a verse idea that stays in my head, and then the harder part is finding the rest, you know, filling in the rest.
You find that the one song you're working on occupies your entire mind, or can you work on multiple things?
I would say one at a time.
One at a time?
Yeah. If I'm really in a song, it's just the one.
Right.
I don't have any patience for the other ones.
And so when you're in that moment, you know, the moment of crafting music, can you still play? Can you still perform for other people? Or does that get in the way?
No, I would say it's almost like taking a break from writing, performing. I find them so different. They use different parts of me. So, I've had that actually where maybe I was really in the production state of mind when I was producing this last album. When I had a performance, it was a little bit like, oh, I forgot about this part of it all.
So you come back to it, and does that make you want to change what you had come up with originally? Or is it permanently cast in stone, this is the song, that's how it is, and it will never change?
Oh, there's so much of the changing.
Really?
It's gone through so many changes. I could have probably been finished like months ago, but I really... wanted to take my time and make sure it was where I basically just make sure where it was at a place that I felt, you know, proud of and happy with. And I don't listen and I say, oh, I don't like that. I should have done this better. So every time that happened, I went back and changed it.
So Jake, the recording engineer, says, hey, Jake, musician, you've got to change this. And you go back to record some more before you assemble it again.
Definitely. So many conversations with
that's
myself.
Time consuming.
It is. Yes, very time. It's the this last project has taken up a lot of time, but I know it's finally at a place that that I'm happy with. Yeah.
But you're still trickling out the songs one at a time.
Just these two, and then I will put the rest out.
All at once. All right. Looking forward to that.
Oh, thank you.
Got something else? You said you've had this one song that you know. A while ago that you're still performing?
Yeah, I was thinking, I'll play that one, yeah. I wasn't actually planning on, but the conversation brought it up, I'd like to.
All right, please do. Jake Feeney on CKMS Community Connections.
Thank you.
Sometimes the ground you're on ends up caving in. That's when you feel it all harder than it's ever been. remember one day you will be looking back and you will see that even though it hurts today, that these are all just growing pains. These are all just growing.
Nice. I like your guitar technique. It's
thank you very
the
much.
The finger picking.
Yeah, that specific type with the thumb, the bouncing thumb,
mm-hmm.
I learned actually just recently that it's called Travis picking.
Okay.
I didn't know that. I think Merle Travis is the originator of that.
All right.
I learned it from a Swedish artist named The Tallest Man on Earth, or Christian Mattsson.
Okay.
And he, most of his songs are in that pattern. He's got an amazing sense of like melody and a bit of a grating voice, but once you get used to it,
yeah,
he's just that's amazing. So yeah,
that's the instrument, right?
Right. Yeah. And he introduced me to that style of picking, and I remember learning one of his songs, and then that was it. I just half of my songs ended up being like that.
Right.
I had to almost tone it down. Like, okay, I don't want every song to have that type of picking.
Yeah. But it's nice. It's melodic. There's so much going on when you're doing that.
Yeah.
So you said you're bouncing your thumb.
Right. So the bass or the thumb kind of provides the bass.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other fingers kind of add up the melody. So. Something like that.
Excellent. Yeah. Oh, wow. It's just, you know, six strings is already five more than I can handle.
So, yeah.
This is pretty incredible.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And are you now writing songs with an eye to using that picking technique?
Not so much. Maybe when I first discovered it, I wanted to add more of those. It's usually just an instinct. Like when I pick up the guitar and I'm not really aiming to do anything, I end up just doing that picking pattern.
Okay.
And then maybe I'm, you know, upside down on the couch and I find something that works and I like it. And then I'm like, oh, of course, I'm using that picking pattern.
So you said it's fairly recent that you've learned that,
Yeah, maybe in the last 3 years or so,
okay.
Yeah.
What mm-hmm. were you doing before that?
Just the strumming, you know, the classic strumming.
Mm-hmm.
I Definitely was inspired by John Mayer early on, mm-hmm. and he used a like a slapping technique, kind of used the thumb on the as a percussive instrument. Okay. So I do have another song that I'm going to play that actually does involve that. I got a little bit maybe just kind of sick of hearing that slapping all sound, right. but there's also been I've been using it for so long that I kind of figured out a way to, you know, do it without annoying myself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Kind of alter it a little bit so it's a little yeah. easier on the ears, a little less aggressive and yeah. obnoxious.
When you're slapping, you're actually slapping the strings for that.
Yeah, you kind of hit the bass bottom okay. strings with the thumb.
Okay, and I've seen people use the guitar as a percussion instrument. You know,
right? Like drumming on the side.
Drumming on the side, slapping the body. I've seen guitar bodies just worn away by people using the body, the soundboard,
right.
to you know, drum as they're playing.
It seems like now that I've seen people do it, it seems like of course it's
yeah.
why not use all of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't really gotten into that too much.
No.
Not those kind of extreme okay. techniques, but I love watching it. I yeah. admire it.
Okay. So the Travis Bickham, Will Travis, is known as a country musician.
Yeah.
I wouldn't classify your music as country music.
Right.
It's, you know, modern folk.
Right.
Folk music, yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are starting to feel like genre might be dead or fading, you know.
Genre has become awfully difficult.
Right.
You know,
I always have a hard time
yeah.
when somebody asks, what kind of music do you play? That's one yeah. of the hardest questions.
I don't really know how to answer it. When I'm classifying music for a digital library, you know, if the artists themselves haven't provided me with some kind of clue as to what it is,
right.
you know, it becomes really difficult to categorize it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's required. You know, the digital music library has
mm-hmm.
a category for genre, so I feel obligated to fill that in.
Right. Even still submitting music to... you know, the newer streaming services,
right.
you have to provide a genre.
Right,
yeah.
right. And if you have misclassified a particular song in genre, you know, something that you might consider folk music, somebody else says, oh, that's country. Does that interfere with how you present the song?
It can. I think it might interfere with how I just perceive it, how I think of it going forward, or... yeah, maybe if I'm playing at a certain spot that I wouldn't want to include like a country
okay.
sounding song, then maybe I'd leave it off. But I try to stay a little bit distant from that because
okay.
I think it's more. It definitely comes in handy when you know, yeah, categorizing and like I said, submitting stuff. But when you're listening, I don't think many people are thinking, oh. I like this song because it's this genre. You know, they
yeah.
either like the song or they don't.
I know there are people who say it's country music. I'll never listen to that.
That's true.
So, you know,
if
anything
you get
but misclassified,
country.
Then yeah, exactly.
That's a whole
yeah.
population.
Yeah. Do you write for your audience or do you just write for Jake?
Oh yeah, just for Jake. I think if I catch myself writing for the audience, then I know I'm doomed. From the beginning,
yeah.
it just doesn't really work out the same.
Yeah.
I do have some songs that I've put on the back burner just because I feel like I was maybe writing to the audience more, or to
okay.
a audience that I've created in my head.
Right.
You know.
Right. And then when you're out performing,
yeah.
do you change how you play the music, how you present it to the audience?
Sometimes I try to use covers for that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'll stick to my guns with my original stuff, and then. Depending on the room or the type of audience, I'll throw in some covers.
Yeah.
Usually to contrast the slower,
right.
Not slower, but melancholy nature of my songs.
Right, so you
yeah.
draw on somebody else's melodies to change the mood for the audience.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and you know everybody likes to sing along if they know the song. Sometimes
right.
it's a case of being so obsessed with the song that I just need to play it.
Oh,
that happens
okay.
too.
You have to get it out.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's another way of getting out. That's when I post stuff online, like cover-wise, like that. It's usually that. It's usually that
okay.
I can't get it out of my head. I need to
play it.
Get it out.
Yeah.
yeah.
When is there much demand for the type of music that you're playing? The finger picking melancholy folk music.
That's a good question.
There's a genre for you. Finger picking melancholy folk
music.
That's
good. Yeah, it's long. I don't know. I think there. I would want to stay away from playing what there's a demand for. You know, just. Okay. I know that sounds, you know, a little
maybe
played out,
a,
but
maybe there's a niche demand for it. There's some folk clubs in the area that you know, would love that kind of stuff.
Definitely.
But you know, it's a select audience. It's not mainstream.
Yeah, and definitely when I'm playing acoustically here, the folk sound comes out more. But mm-hmm. when I'm producing what I've been working on, that kind of fills in other spaces. Okay. A little more alternative, even indie mm-hmm. rock. Like the first one I played, No Headlights, that one was produced more with like a full band sound. We'd call right. that indie alternative, okay. if I were to classify it.
Okay.
That's probably where I'm leaning toward.
Right. I've got it classified here as alternative indie rock and Canadian content.
There you go. So, that's perfect.
Yeah. I think I probably got that from you.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, that's what I would have said if I was asked for a genre.
Okay. Okay. So, you have something else to play for us?
Yeah.
I want to ask you some more questions, but
sure.
I don't want to interfere with the music.
No worries.
Jake Feeney on CKMS Community Connections.
I've seen it in photographs, and when you're laughing, I swear I've seen it. I won't take you into the past, no. You say it was hell come through, easy to tell on you. Must have just missed you by a minute. I've never seen you out so early. No. You take all of your sorrows and send them deeper down. You say you're feeling lost and you don't know how. Oh, now we used to float. We don't even get high. Guess we're losing our right to. Guess we're losing our right to. It's been a long time, and I've seen it from the outside. Never had a middle, it was the whole thing all at once. You take and bury. I hang mine out to dry. You say you're feeling lost and you don't know why. Oh, now we used to flow. We don't even get high anymore. Oh, now we used to flow. Guess we're losing our right too. Guess we're losing our right. Flow, yeah.
listening to CKMS Community Connections. My name is Bob Jonkman, and his name is Jake Feeney.
Thank you very much, Bob.
That was nice. That was the alternate style of guitar playing there, right?
Right, yeah. That one's got a little more, maybe even R&B feel to it, or a little blues, a little bit of R&B.
Yeah, yeah.
Hidden in there somewhere.
Yeah, I can tell. It's still melancholy, though.
Yeah.
What's
the deal?
What's the deal, yes.
Yeah, it's still the same feeling, like it's, I don't know. I've tried writing happier songs. Yeah. Maybe they just don't feel as authentic.
Okay.
I think when I'm...
You don't seem like a melancholy person to me. You know?
Yeah, I'd say maybe when I feel happy, I like to just feel that and mm-hmm. be in those moments. Yeah. Maybe when not, that's when I take to Tim guitar and right. writing songs, yeah. I love listening to happy music, although I do love listening to sad music too. But yeah, I don't know.
How do the audiences appreciate what you're playing? Is it when you're at a venue, is it, play something we know, or is it carry on what you're playing?
I've definitely heard, well, maybe not from directly from an audience, but people in my life have said, you know, like, you should play an upbeat one, like, play a happy song, and mm-hmm. that really grinds my gears.
Yeah,
not that I don't understand where they're coming from, but I just, yeah, I don't find, especially if somebody else is telling me to do it, I don't want to do it.
No.
But, I find it's better to be authentic with my music, especially because that's what I feel most passionate about in terms of like my skills and abilities. So I don't want to, you know, compromise that just to
play
an
upbeat
song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What sort of venues have you been playing at?
Basically anywhere that'll have me. Anywhere in Toronto. Some notable ones. I did play at the Elmo Combo before
Ooh.
It closed. It was just about to be reopened, and then...
Hey.
The state of things
yeah.
delayed it again. But I played there. That was really cool. I remember I played a bit of a Stevie Ray Vaughan cover. I didn't mention that. Definitely was inspired by blues artists too.
Okay, yeah.
I remember standing there and saying, I can't believe this is where he stood and played this song. And yeah that was cool. I play at Free Times Cafe. That's probably my most... played venue,
okay.
played there a bunch of times.
An interesting name. What's
yeah? It's an Israeli restaurant with a music room in the back. They mm-hmm. had an open mic that I went to, and they asked me back to play like one of the series shows.
Okay.
And yeah, I've been playing there ever since.
So that's a music lovers venue. Right?
Yeah,
the people
definitely.
Come there to listen to the music.
There, yeah, for sure. Right. And they have songwriting like workshops back there sometimes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to stick a link to them in the show notes.
Free Times Cafe, yeah. Great. Any other ones?
I'm just wondering how it is when you're in, say, a small restaurant or cafe, mm-hmm. and you know, you're up there on stage playing, and people aren't really paying attention to the music.
Yeah.
You've poured a lot of work into your craft and into your musicianship,
yeah.
and people aren't paying attention.
Well, no? Thanks for saying that. Yeah, definitely have felt that before.
Yeah.
Sometimes I use it as just an opportunity to almost practice live, you know,
experiment a bit.
Yeah,
see what
definitely.
Gets their attention.
Exactly. And sometimes that's when I'll throw in a cover if I don't think that people are paying attention enough. But also, even if just one person is listening, I think that's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough. It's enough for me. If I can tell they're really listening, that's what really gets me excited to perform. Yeah.
Good. That's what I'm here for, you know?
Yeah.
To listen to the music and to spread it far and wide.
Absolutely, yeah. You do great things over here.
So how do you go about getting the gigs at these venues? Obviously, if it's an open mic, you can just drop in.
Right. Sometimes it's just simply emailing or calling or... a lot of the time, because Toronto is so populated with musicians from mm-hmm. every type of genre, you know, somebody will ask, they'll need another act on their bill, so they'll ask me. That happens a fair bit more than probably asking the venue directly.
Okay.
But yeah, I try to say yes to every gig. So yeah. Somebody asks me, I've never met. Those are my favorite. You know, I get to meet new musicians, meet their friends and fans, and maybe see a new venue. I love playing at venues I haven't played at before. I have a list of venues, little check marks beside them.
And you have the circuit that you go around?
Yeah. Like as I was saying about how the music scene is so eclectic in Toronto, it's I feel like there are so many circuits, and I feel that I maybe weave in and out of a few different ones.
Okay.
Sometimes I open for, like, I actually just recently opened for a funk rock band.
Funk?
Yeah. They're from Ottawa. Shout out to the Lynels. They're great.
All right.
I've played with them a few times, and they've got, definitely a heavier rock sound.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of soul, but definitely funk. And for some reason, they feel that I fit as an opener, and I love it.
Get some variety into the, you know, the entire length of the show. Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you perform strictly acoustically when you're doing live performances?
More often. I do have played with, like, a bassist and drummer a few times.
Okay.
Nothing more than that. Yeah, just, mostly just acoustic or electric.
How does that work when you're playing with other musicians? Do you write out arrangements and hand them the sheet music and say, here, practice this?
Sometimes, I'll give them chords. Usually we just practice, and the guys that I've played with are, you know, they've got the great ear, so they can usually just follow along, pick it up pretty quickly.
Okay.
I like to, it's a good experiment giving, like, you know, kind of direction. I don't like to say that I would be the band leader, but I guess I am in that case.
Yeah,
and that's fun to kind of direct how I hear the song with a band, especially if it's one that I don't usually play with a band.
What's it like hearing other people play your music?
It's pretty cool. It's cool. it is really cool having somebody harmonize my lyrics.
Yeah.
Or when I go to practice and they're already, you know, picking around on one of my songs.
Right.
I'm like, hey, that's mine. I know that one. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Do you ever write for others?
Yes, I've done that a bit. Maybe not as much as I'd like to in the future. I think that's definitely something I want to explore more. But
you know, there's people who've written hundreds of songs and, you know, never actually produced their own album.
Yeah. My dad is a fantastic songwriter. He is more, I'd say he's more in the more in the songwriter category than I would be. But I do want to do that. I do think that that's a good way to, you know, express creativity in a different way, a little less pressure on yourself. Yeah.
Being a songwriter is different from being a singer, songwriter, performer, though.
Right.
Because now you're having to shop out your music.
Mm-hmm. The whole package, everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do
you have somebody that does promotion for you? Have you thought of hiring a promotion company, perhaps?
I have thought about it. I am not there yet.
Yeah.
Definitely something to look into. I like doing it myself, though, as I do all the other stuff, too.
I find people that I've talked to before say that it's not musical, you know, going out,
right,
finding venues, finding people that will hire you to play music is business.
It does feel very far from the music. Yeah. It really does. I've noticed that more and more. Even some parts of the production almost end up feeling that way. Maybe not the production, but the editing and the, because that's so time consuming. And once you've heard one blip of a verse 20 times in a row, you kind of forget what you're doing or what the song sounded like. But with promotion and the pressure to feel like you always need to be posting and talking about your music, and that's, I do feel that sometimes, but I also like to think that it's not everything, and really it comes down to a song.
Writing the song, performing the song,
yeah,
and then all the other stuff is,
yeah,
makes that part worthwhile.
Right. Exactly. that's how I like to look at it.
Yeah, if you didn't have the outlets of performing, of recording, you'd probably still make the music.
Right.
Yeah.
For sure I would, yeah. I did when I was a little kid. I would use my dad's computer and record songs when my voice was 3 octaves higher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any of that worth keeping? maybe as
just a memento.
The Jake Feeney archives.
Show a select few of those ones.
Yeah. Is that a full-time gig for you, music?
It is right now. I have a couple side things going on, but I'm trying to make it more a full-time gig. Trying to maximize the revenue streams, as they say. There's a lot of different things you can do, but it takes a lot of work and a lot of focus. Good organizational skills too.
I suppose.
Still working on.
I suppose you can't just disappear into the recording studio and not get out there and do the performances anymore.
Right, and there's songwriting is another way. Teaching music, which I haven't I haven't really done too much, but that's something I may venture into.
Okay.
Teaching guitar, maybe.
Yeah, and your dad, you said he was a prolific songwriter.
Mm-hmm. Producer and singer. He was in a band called Joel Feeney and the Western Front. And then it was just the front. And then he was just Joel Feeney. And he released albums. And in more recent years, in the 2000s, he got more into producing. He produced song and wrote for Leanne Rimes, the country singer.
Oh, okay.
It was a pretty successful song. It's a great song.
Excellent.
And CCMA Producer of the Year. 2 years.
Oh, wow.
He's a pro.
Okay, so at some point we're going to have to get Joel Feeney into the studio.
Yeah, and, come on
and
out.
Do this all over again.
I think he's listening, so he's probably blushing at that.
Okay. Well, come on over anytime, let me know, and we'll stick you on the microphone.
I'll try to convince him.
Got something else for us?
Yeah. Oh, actually, don't keep it. This song's called Jane.
Maybe it's not all
all it seems. But how can you know when blinded eye? Maybe it's not in my way. But how can you trust one thing when it's something else I feel right? When it's something else I feel right. When it's up in the air, I will shine. And it's hard to tell for someone else. No, you've got to hold on. But I don't, no, I don't. And you've got a hold on me. Oh, 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 do you see me in? It's been late for hours, I am spent.
Song of Unrequited Love?
That's a confusing one. Not quite. More a relationship with habits, I would say. That's a hard one to describe. That's definitely a hard one to describe. I kind of use the maybe unrequited love as a metaphor for that, or as a as like a conduit for that kind of thing, but not necessarily about that. It's a hard one to describe.
I obviously didn't listen deep enough into it
no.
to catch that.
I like to write lyrics, especially in this last project, that are more up for interpretation than to say, this one's about this time when I felt this, you know? I like to have everybody have their own interpretation. A lot of songs I love, I like that I don't know what they wrote it about.
So when we buy the album, you need to listen to it multiple times to dig down through those layers.
Yeah, it's a multi-listener, for sure. All right.
So coming out when?
I don't have a firm date, but definitely in the next 2 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how does one go about acquiring it?
It will be on all the streaming services, Apple Music, Spotify, all those things.
Bandcamp, SoundCloud.
Bandcamp, SoundCloud. I'll probably upload it to YouTube as well, maybe certain songs. If I get together some music videos, or at least lyric videos, something interesting like that, I'll put it on YouTube.
Recording engineer and video producer too?
Yeah, that's the next step. Not sure if I'm making physical copies this time, but maybe if I go on a little tour, or at least an Ontario tour, I'll bring some physicals along.
I know I got someplace, and I like the music. I want to buy something, you know? There's that token of patronage that
I hear you.
So I may not need the CD player. I don't think I've stuck a CD player or a CD in a CD player in years.
It's holding it and seeing it and opening it.
I listen to the streaming audio as I'm looking at the case.
Right. I've definitely done that before, actually. Vinyls too. That's something I'd love one day to. Those are very expensive to get made. Yeah. I think minimum you got to have like 500.
Really?
Yeah, because the machine will only, something like that.
Okay. How do people get a hold of you? Somebody has heard the show and wants to get you onto their stage?
I guess email would be a good place to start. JakeFeeneyMusic@gmail.com. Any of the social media things I'm on, so I would respond to you there, too.
On Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook. Yeah.
Instagram, you said?
In Instagram, yeah. Okay. Those are the two that I'm most reachable at, yeah.
All right. So reach out, JakeFeeneyMusic@gmail.com.
That's right.
Right. Good. You got 5 minutes left. You have
cool.
something left in you to
Yeah, play? I do. I got one more.
All right.
Thank you very much for having me. It's really been nice.
Great. It's been absolutely great. You've been listening to CKMS Community Connections. Jake Feeney is in the studio performing live. He is about to finish off with...
It's called The Hall. Could guide me home straight through to the bone. I'm struck by all you hold, anxious love. What's above when this is here? Hopefully, come to clean. Minds we flee. And I tell how you are by walking down the hall. The floor creaks. Silence, you breathe out the tears in your side. Anxious love, what's above when this is here? Hopefully, come to clean these minds we flee.
CKMS Community Connections. Thank you very much, Jake, for coming into the studio. It's been great.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah. So, any upcoming gigs that you want to tell us about?
I am playing in Toronto. If all goes as planned, mm-hmm. I'm playing at the Hole in the Wall. Oh. It's a little bar. It's literally a hole in the wall in Junction, West End of Toronto. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm playing with my friend Tristan. He's going to back me up on bass. And... yeah, we're going to play for a few hours on the 27th, so next Friday.
27th, The Hole in the Wall in Toronto.
That's right.
Go see Jake Feeney play and listen and maybe purchase an album.
Yeah.
You want to take us out with some instrumental stuff?
Sure.
And then I will talk over your music.
Absolutely.
In total disappreciation of the craft.
No, that's awesome.
You've been listening to CKMS Community Connections here on CKMS FM 102.7 Radio Waterloo. We've had Jake Feeney in the studio. CKMS Community Connections is produced by Radio Waterloo and sponsored by Radio Waterloo. Executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Associate producers are Dylan Bravener, James Jordan, and Jeff Stager. You can hear the second episode of CKMS Community Connections on Fridays at 2 p.m. to 3. My name is Bob Jonkman. Let's listen to Jake Feeney take us to the top of the hour.